This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Julian, thank you very much for being here. So let's start with the additional information you have regarding Hillary Clinton. When can we expect this information?
Well, we're working around the clock. We have received quite a lot of material, stimulated, of course, by the U.S. election process and by our major DNC revelation, which has now led to the resignation of five top officials in the DNC, including Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the president, the last one, late last week. So, you know, it's a complex business what we do. We have to assess the veracity. We have a perfect 10-year record so far in never getting it wrong. We want to keep that reputation, understand how things should be formatted, what media we should be involved in, what is the best way to stage it out. Do we accumulate everything, assess it, publish it all in one batch, or do we do several batches? The approach that we've decided to take is that we do several batches.
But what, I mean, give us a general sense. I mean, are we going to see it before the November 8th election?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, in the case of the DNC leaks, for example, we pushed as fast as we could to try and get it in before the Democratic nomination conference, because obviously people have a right to understand who it is that they're nominating and what sort of process was involved. And the same is true here for the U.S. electoral process. People involved in that election have the right to understand who it is they're electing.
Well, how do you like me now, huh? I think the DNC, Scott, was especially, taking notice to the answer of the second question that Megyn Kelly asked Julian Assange, and that can we expect to get that information before the November 8th election? Also, interesting to point out that they've had a consistent track record in 10 years. I mean, they really take this serious and make sure they have it right. They're not just trying to throw conspiracy out there. They want to make sure that it holds water. The heat is on. I mean, interesting that, the mainstream media, others that we would expect to hold our political officials accountable, including Congress, cannot seem to make this happen. But yet an outside source like WikiLeaks is able to pull back the curtain on this. So you can be thankful, I guess, in some sense, for WikiLeaks and Julian Assange. And I wasn't sure I'd ever be able to say that. But in the pursuit of truth, which is what this show is all about, no matter where it leads, you know, you have to give him his due and be grateful that we have somebody out there pursuing the truth to help us understand what's going on. I mean, you have Hillary Clinton who says, look, I've turned everything over, 30,000, emails and all that. And, of course, everybody, the president included, saying, look, everything's there, nothing here, let's just move on. And then all of a sudden, the FBI comes up with, half as many yet again when she said she had already delivered all the emails, 15,000 more emails. I mean, that's just not like one or two. It's 15,000 additional emails. And so, and I think we've been saying all along, as we know, with emails, once they go out into the, the blogosphere, they're out there flying around and somebody's going to capture them. There's going to be something there. There's going to be a smoking gun, a blue dress, as we've been saying, right?
Yeah, definitely. And it's good to see somebody that's giving them a dose of their own medicine. I mean, we had Snowden tell us about the NSA and everything that they're doing. And so they're obviously capturing all of our stuff. It's nice to know that somebody is out there that's grabbing their stuff. And he's somebody that they definitely want to get their hands on.
Well, I mean, there could be something rather volatile here. And Hillary Clinton knows what's out there. And, she's the one that scrubbed all the emails, her and her attorney, supposedly. And then you found out later on that really all her attorneys, were not there. And so, hey, here it is. We continue to get through it, and I appreciate you being involved in the conversation here. This is Bill Martinez Live, just about five after the top of the hour right now.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Liz Peek is with us right now. Columnist for FoxNews.com, the Fiscal Times, spent over 20 years on Wall Street, most of them as a top-ranked research analyst after managing her firm's entrance into international research and foray into the market for U.S. equities in Japan. You didn't do pay-for-play there, did you? I thought I was only thinking that. I actually said that. Of course you didn't. No, Liz absolutely knows the difference. We know better. But Liz Peek, always good to have you here on Bill Martinez Live. How you doing?
I'm just great. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, let's talk about the one and only Donald Trump. As you write in your latest column, there's still hope, America. Not all Trump voters are, you know, bonkers and gone mad, are they?
Actually, what I wrote about is five reasons that normally sane people could vote for Donald Trump. Because, you know, I keep running into people who kind of look at you like you have two heads if you say you're going to vote for Trump. By the way, I've run into a lot of people recently who are going to vote for him, too. So I have not totally lost hope. But I think that, you know, there has been such a backlash, not only on the left, but also on the right. A lot of, you know, very hardline conservatives taking on Donald Trump and the Never Trump movement and all this, you kind of do begin to think, wait a minute, aren't there reasons why when faced with a choice, which is after all what it is, between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, it makes sense to vote for Trump? So I think there are good reasons. And first off, I think there is no question that Hillary Clinton cannot talk to the country and cannot work to improve our public education system, which to me is one of the enormous crises impacting this country. We have terrible public schools in a lot of particular urban centers, and kids are coming out of these schools unable to read and write, unable to really fend for themselves. And Hillary Clinton has taken millions of dollars from the teachers' unions and also relies on the teachers' unions to get out the vote on Election Day, which in Hillary's case is extremely important because they're worried that the enthusiasm with which people voted for Obama is not going to translate into voter turnout for her. So she cannot talk about teacher accountability. She cannot talk about vouchers or charter schools. Donald Trump can, and this is one of the things I think that he really should be all over, that the Republicans should be talking about. Because, Bill, I think you and I have talked about this in the past. You know, the Hispanic community, which is fast-growing and everybody's trying to reach out to, they're very concerned about education. So that's
one reason.
Well,
this is the thing that blows me away here, Liz. Let me interrupt you for just a second here. You bring up the Hispanic community. Donald Trump's made a lot of effort to reach out to Black America, as you know. And you just brought up a big point here. To me, that should be a deal breaker right there by giving, you know, Black America a choice, which Hillary Clinton, there is no way that she's going to give Black America, Hispanic America a choice. But let's look at those two demographics, Black and Hispanic. 41% Hispanic, 13% Black, and so much is in terms of Trump's perspective. In fact, I was talking with a Trump insider over the weekend. I said, man, he's doing a lot for the blacks, but he's not saying much about Hispanics. And, you know, and last time I checked, 41% is bigger than 13.
Well, I think that he has reached out to them. You know, over the weekend, he met with the Hispanic Advisory Council that he's finally put in place. He has talked about their speculation that he's going to soften his rhetoric and his program and thinking about deporting a lot of people who are in the country illegally. I think that's incredibly important, and hopefully he will pursue that. Hopefully he'll get some people in his campaign to really reach out to the Hispanic community, because I think a lot, you know, you might know better than I, but I think a lot of people who are in the country legally, who are working hard, trying to get ahead, there's a lot for the Republican platform for them to like.
Well, just their basic culture is consistent with the Republican platform. But they've been, you know, like black America the same way. How they have voted Democratic, even like, you know, Jews, why they go so much, you know, towards the Democrats is still remains a mystery to me. You know, I think Hillary's America, Dinesh D'Souza's movie, brought that really, you know, point loud and clear, how the Democrats have been able to hijack positions that the Republicans own, and somehow they just gave up, you know, that that position to the Democrats, and the Democrats seemingly are the ones that saved black America when it was just the opposite.
Yeah. I talk, there's a conservative black radio host I speak to regularly, and he was saying this morning, I mean, you know, if you look at almost any matrix, before the civil rights movement, blacks were ascendant in terms of income and penetration at various workplaces and so forth. And really, he thinks the black leadership has really done a terrible job for that community. I think he's totally right. But you know what? It's all about money and power. And I don't think that the Al Sharpton and Jesse Jacksons of this world care a lot about minority, about black kids in the ghetto growing up. I think they want them to not do very well, so they continue to think that they're the leaders to turn to, and that's a terrible charge. But the fact that they are so opposed to charter schools and other things, which are really truly a lifeline, you know, you have to kind of just shake your head at the cynicism of it.
Yeah, but to your point, I mean, there's, to me, I think there's things within the just the natural culture, whether it's blacks or Hispanics, that, you know, really are in conflict with the Democratic platform. All they have to do is read that Democratic platform, the new one, this one that they just approved. To me, it's shocking. This is not your father's Democratic Party by far.
Well, but I think that's totally true. It has veered very sharply left. But, you know, for Hispanics, talking about that, you know, a great many Hispanics are religious people, and I don't think there's any question that the right is much more concerned about preserving and even celebrating religious activity in this country and religious freedom than the left is. I mean, there really isn't any question about that. The left is all about making everybody the same. Let's not allow your religious preferences to have any bearing on what you do or how you think. And I think, again, I think it's a shame. You know, I don't know about you, I was very struck during the Olympics, watching the Olympic coverage, about how many black athletes in particular are very religious. I mean, they're all crossing each of themselves and saying prayers before and after. So you kind of have to say, okay, these are
and
people
this is,
who have...
Liz, and this isn't just blacks from the United States. This is around the world that are doing this. And interesting you should know that, because I noticed that as well. I agree with you. Go ahead.
Well, I just think maybe, and looking at the U.S. athletes in particular, there is some correlation between having a church that you belong to, having a family that takes you to church, having those old-fashioned values and so forth, and being successful. I mean, maybe this, you know, this breakdown of family, breakdown of religious community, et cetera, not only has hurt the country at large, but has particularly hurt minority communities. You know, look, I'm not an expert on that, but it does seem to me that whatever we've got going on now isn't working. And by the way, I think Trump's pitch to blacks is pretty smart. It's like, okay, what do you got to lose? I mean, it's not going well now.
Well, Liz, we got it. Liz, let me pause you right there because we got to go to break.
Yeah.
Liz Peek is with us.
Sure.
We've got more from Liz right after this. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
August is National Immunization Awareness Month. Parents, this is a reminder for you to take your adolescents and young adults to their healthcare provider to get any recommended vaccines before they head back to school. This includes vaccines to help protect against meningococcal disease, an uncommon but serious bacterial infection that can attack without warning. With the recent cases and outbreaks at colleges and universities in the U.S., it is important that parents talk to their healthcare provider about getting their children vaccinated against meningococcal disease before they go back to school. Dr. Richard Chung, Director of Adolescent Medicine at Duke University.
Two different vaccines are needed to be fully immunized against meningococcal disease, a vaccine that helps protect against groups A, C, W, and Y, and a different vaccine that helps protect against group B, also known as MenB, which accounts for nearly 50% of all U.S. cases of meningococcal disease in 17 to 23-year-olds.
Visit www.stopmenb.com to learn more about MenB and available meningococcal vaccines. This message is sponsored by Pfizer, Inc.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
ProPure Water Filters, making water great again. Taste and feel the difference with state-of-the-art filter technology. Pro 1 G2.0 and Pro Max filters are independent lab-tested to NSF standards. Choose from gravity, countertop, pitcher, shower, and inline filtration products. There's a ProPure for you. Buy risk-free today. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IBC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IBC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IBC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
We're back with you, America. Bill Martinez here, just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour, and our conversation with Liz Peek continues. Liz, of course, columnist for FoxNews.com and the Fiscal Times. Liz, we were talking about some practical reasons why undecideds and others would still want to choose Donald Trump. And I agree, in my travels across the country, people are hesitant to speak out right away. And I'd say in a general sense, I mean, certainly you have people that are absolute fans of Trump. They've They've got bumper stickers. They've got hats, and their decision is already made clear. But there's others that are a little bit reticent because, you mentioned Donald Trump, and it seems to really spark some contention. But I think there's practical things, like you say, education in offering voucher choice, which the Democrats aren't about to approach because they're so locked in with the unions, as you say. But also Obamacare, and Obamacare is collapsing, and what a disaster this national health care program has proved to be.
Yes, and I think that, again, this is a stark divide. Hillary Clinton wants to double down on the government takeover of health care. In fact, now she wants it to be completely government-dependent, so-called single-payer option, meaning we would be basically embarking down the same road that England went down many years ago, and which most people, including their recent Prime Minister, David Cameron, are on record as telling everyone it's a disaster. Mm. And I know people, literally, whose parents have died from various kinds of diseases because they were not able to get in to see a doctor or have the test taken on time. This is really would be a calamity for our country. And Hillary Clinton hinting at this, Paul Krugman came out, and he's kind of a mouthpiece, I think, for the left, and said, hey, this is obviously their problems with Obamacare. The way to fix it is to basically have the government take it all over. I think people should be very anxious about this. Already we've seen what government involvement does with this healthcare program. Premiums are going to be up over 25% for most people next year. They are truly unaffordable for a great many Americans. It's not working, and partly it's because we have not encouraged the greater competition that was supposed to happen. In fact, in dozens of counties now across the country, there is only one insurance provider. So things have gotten worse, not better. Exactly. There are some provisions like being able to keep your health care insurance if you get sick. Fine, we'll make that part of the ongoing program, but this has got to be abolished and then redone. And the only person who can do that is a Republican, and Donald Trump's the guy.
Well, Liz, when you talk about a government takeover of health care, all you have to do is look to the VA and see how successful they've been in managing that program, right?
Yes, there's a tremendous amount of fraud and waste in the VA. But the problem is, when Obamacare became law, it was a very contentious thing, obviously. But as a sop to the Republican Party, the Democrats talked about, well, we'll try this, we'll try that, we'll try some of the things you're talking about. One of the things that they never embraced was any real role for the private sector. And, Bill, I'm sure you have seen there are parts of the country where companies like Walmart and Costco and some of the big drugstore chains have clinics. And the clinics are very cheap. If your kid has a sore throat, instead of going and spending $200 on a doctor visit, you can go in and $15 later you've had the strep test, which will tell you whether or not this is an important thing. There are many ways to cut the cost of health care that have not even been broached because, Democrats are basically anti-free enterprise. And that's really not an exaggeration. They really are. So their system always requires more government, which leads to my next point, Hillary versus Trump, which is just bigger government involvement in everything. Today, if you look at polling, how Americans feel about the government, they don't like the federal government. Most of them think it's inefficient, and they're right, that they don't care about them, and they're right. And as you get closer, if you poll about state government, if you poll about local government, people are happier the closer the authority is to them. Why? Because they see their mayor. They see their governor. They don't ever see President Obama. They don't see all these, disappearing characters in Congress. So the whole concept of Hillary Clinton's world is you take more and more power away from those local authorities and take it to Washington. It's a terrible idea. And most people, I think, feel that way. So the Trump campaign has heard from me on this. They really need to talk about putting power back to the states. And you're in Hawaii. So let me tell you, this morning, in the New York Post, there was an article about the federal government deciding that people should no longer be able to swim with dolphins in Hawaii because the dolphins get tired. And I just started laughing when I read that. It was like, okay, what is their job? How are they to do with overseeing dolphin activities in Hawaii? The answer is nothing. But no one is pushing back on this.
Well, what the answer is for them, to your point, is bigger government. Now you're going to have more bureaucracy coming that way. A bunch of the people's money, which we don't have already, is going to go towards studying swimming with the dolphins.
Oh, no, it's just ridiculous. It's a power grab. But off and down the line, that's all we do is power grabs everywhere. Mm-hmm. It is really, I think it's very alarming. And honestly, it's time to step in front of this train. And by the way, the other thing, a couple of other issues. One is the economy. Hillary Clinton is doubling down on everything that's gone wrong for 7 years. More regulations, higher taxes on corporations, which I literally don't know a single economist who thinks that's a good idea. And then the Supreme Court, the ultimate answer, ultimate rationale for voting for Donald Trump is, do you really want a progressive Supreme Court for the next 20 or 30 years? Because that is what Hillary will give you. And boy, have we seen under Obama how important it is to have justices who will push back against the federal overreach of a overbearing White House that can't work with Congress. Congress has been pretty ineffectual and gotten a lot of criticism of it. But the truth is, there's only so much they can do against executive orders. It's the Supreme Court's job to step in the way. And if you want to let that stuff just roll along, vote for Hillary Clinton. Or,
well,
don't vote, because if you don't vote, that is a vote for Hillary Clinton.
Yes, exactly. Well, as we know, voting is tough enough as it is. As you say, getting people registered to vote and then to follow through and actually vote. And then, of course, there's been more increasing discussion about voter fraud, which the Democrats insist doesn't exist. Former AG Eric Holder, in a presentation on C-SPAN the other night, was very insistent there was no voter fraud. And I said, how do you have any credibility when you're the one that let the Black Panthers intimidate the voters there in Pennsylvania?
Well, I'll tell you where you're going to see more and more instances of voter fraud. Some states, and I think this is the case already in California, basically allow you to register to vote via your driver's license application. They don't demand a birth certificate. This is something I want to work on, but I don't believe they demand any proof of citizenship. You tell me why that's not going to turn into voter fraud.
Well, of course it is. And of course, they've got new laws that they're allowing illegal immigrants to have California driver's license.
Exactly. That's my point. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I didn't finish the thought, but that's exactly right. So now you have tens of thousands of people, presumably, who are going to be able to get driver's licenses. That's all they need for voter registration. Again, explain to me how that does not become voter fraud. I don't see how that doesn't.
But yet, on the other hand, they tell everybody how much everybody's vote counts. Really? And you've just vacated hundreds of thousands of votes by allowing this to happen. And this is just one state. What other, you know, states are accommodating voter fraud? You know, I've been insisting on, in speaking of Pennsylvania, what was it, in the recent presidential cycle, there were 58 voting districts, I believe, in Pennsylvania, where over 100%, and, it's hard to even get to 100%, but they did even over 100% of people there voted for Barack Obama. I mean, not one vote for Mitt Romney? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that seems a little surprising, doesn't it?
But there's no voter fraud, Liz.
Listen, Democrats have always claimed that because then they can push back against and defeat measures that would possibly rein in voter fraud. They know better. And, I mean, a gullible public kind of swallows that, but it is true. And, you know, there are places in the country now, by the way, where people who are not in the country legally are being allowed to vote in local elections.
Exactly.
This
is crazy.
And so
we're out of time. I'm so sorry, but I always appreciate your insight.
Pleasure.
Liz Peek, columnist for FoxNews.com and the Fiscal Times. Thank you, Liz.
I had what many would call the Cadillac of insurance plans with my company. It covered everything, and that's what got us started thinking, well, what is everything? Are we indirectly paying for people to use services that we don't believe in or want to be a part of? And MediShare was the perfect answer for that.
I felt such relief switching over to MediShare. I wasn't paying for anything that I didn't believe in. I was actually able to stand up for what I believe in, and I was able to put my money where my faith is.
We're part of this great program, and it really costs us less than insurance.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-BIBLE-11. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-BIBLE-11. That's 855-BIBLE-11.
Attention, small business owners. Want to save money on your employee health insurance plan? Learn the little-known solution that could save thousands of dollars on your health insurance benefits and save your employees money, too. Call Health Markets for a free consultation, and one of our 3,000 local agents will show you how to make healthcare reform work for you. We'll design customized solutions for your business that can lower healthcare costs for you and your employees. We'll work directly with you to determine your needs. Research thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide. You'll also find out if tax credits could save you money. Best of all, the service is free of charge. See why Health Markets has enrolled Americans in more than 2 million insurance policies. You don't have to wait for open enrollment to lower your cost. Call now. Find out how much you and your employees could be saving.
Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-930-5137. That's 800-930-5137. 800-930-5137.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IBC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IBC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IBC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. A little La Bamba music to wake us up and get us going and get the blood going. Why not? Good to have you along with us. We've got Curtis Ellis, policy advisor for Donald Trump. Curtis also is the executive director of the American Jobs Alliance, serves as a political communications consultant and writer for WND. Curtis, good morning. Good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, it's always nice to be here. Great to be back. Thanks, Bill.
Well, good to have you back to talk about update us on Trump. We shuffled the deck chairs a little bit, brought you gotta love Trump. People in terms of leadership, the guy's gonna get criticized no matter what he does. But of course, the situation with Manafort really brought things to the front. And, I think he's made some positive moves. The momentum definitely swinging in his way, isn't it?
That's right. The polls are looking good. We have one poll, the UPI poll, shows it's a one-point race within the margin of error. Another poll has a three-point gain for Mr. Trump just since last week. He's up in Florida by 2 points. The CBS Battleground poll in Iowa has it a tie race. Now, he had a rough couple weeks there, and everybody was ready to throw dirt on the grave and, bury him. But this is far from over, and we have a great team in place now. Kellyanne Conway and Steve Bannon bringing new energy and direction and focus, and we're moving. And Hillary Clinton, I mean, she's just desperate now to change the issue. She's getting beat up over what everybody knows to be the case with the Clintons: grab and go.
Yeah, exactly.
Grab all the money you can.
I used to have a mentor, Curtis, that would say sometimes you have to be thankful for your competition, and certainly Donald Trump is thankful for one Hillary Clinton, because She is just, she's always just moments away from the next scandal, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. This is a pattern that stretches back all the way to Arkansas. When Bill was governor of Arkansas, everybody knew that you had to hire the Rose Law Firm, where Hillary worked, or at least pretended to work, to get favors from Bill. Pay the Rose Law Firm, put money into the Rose Law Firm, favors came out of the governor's office. Then she moved, when they moved to the White House, it was the Lincoln bedroom. They sold the Lincoln bedroom to the donors. It was a revolving door with a turnstile with a slot for cash. Yeah. And now they, after they left the White House, they set up the Clinton Foundation, which is a complete scam. No doubt there's some work that goes on somewhere in the world that provides a cover for what is essentially a money laundry for the Clintons. And now we see, as more of the emails come out, more of the phone logs come out, as more evidence is revealed, despite her desperate attempts to hide it, you see that there is no separation between the Clinton Foundation and the State Department. There is no government office the Clintons touch that is not for sale immediately.
Yeah. Well, it's hard for them to defend. I mean, it's absolutely shameless when you see Joss Ernst and the State Department, you know, trying to defend her. I mean, they're probably getting absolutely war-weary between trying to defend Hillary Clinton and a $400 million ransom, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. That was that was the other wonderful piece of news recently. We see that the entire Obama-Clinton foreign policy is a massive failure. America's position in the world is slipping, and that's putting it politely, and that's an understatement. Our enemies are emboldened. The Clinton, Obama philosophy is placate the enemy, appease the enemies, they will like us more. I really believe that Hillary Clinton's idea is the foundation of her worldview is the Muslims hate us. The radical Islamists hate us because America hasn't been nice enough to the Muslims, right? To the Muslim world. We have troops stationed in Saudi Arabia, so they have every right to be mad at us. They don't have jobs, so that's why they want to behead us and kill us. Mm-hmm. It's this ridiculous hate America first attitude that they have that informs their entire worldview and the entire foreign policy of this administration, of which she was the chief architect of the foreign policy.
Well, if the truth be known, I mean, it's the same model the Democratic Party has been using for years. You got a problem, throw money at it. And, of course, it's our money. And then meanwhile, the voter politic goes, wait a minute, why do the Muslims hate us after all the money we've invested and given to them, how we've been there to support them? Why do other European countries resent America whenever they're in trouble, we're the first one to step up and give them money? And now we're having a better understanding of why, and that is our representatives, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, have followed and chased down the money for their own ingratiatement, and you know, we're left paying the bill, and they're the ones getting the money. You know, Curtis, one of the things they haven't talked about yet, and it hasn't quite been brought out, was the way in this last run of money, $99 million per wire transfer, which the president said 2 days earlier that they could not do, but somehow they managed to do a series of $99 million of wire transfer to Iran. And then there's, that was kind of odd. And it does smack of some sort of drug dealing, money laundering type of deal. And this is our U.S. government at work on our behalf. And then there's this kind of strange $10 million that smacks of a commission or some sort of payback to somebody, because it's just out there. You know, so what's $10 million when you're sending out $99 million? Like, where is that going to? Wouldn't it be interesting if we found somehow that boomerang back to the Clinton Global Initiative somehow?
Yeah, really. Well, I guess this what you're describing here does sound like the Clinton family got a hold of the books, got a hold of the accounting procedures here.
Yes.
Let's have slush funds. Let's have kickbacks. Let's have a weird middle of the night money transfers under the table and not tell anybody about it, or try our best to make sure nobody finds out about it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way the Clintons have done business. So I guess it makes perfect sense that the U.S. State Department would be engaged in that same kind of activity.
Well, Curtis, let's talk a little bit about immigration. There's been a lot of conversation that Donald Trump is starting to soften a bit. I think maybe he's just dealing with the reality of how are we going to ship out 11 million people. This has been something that was created long long before he came around. You know, this has been going on for decades. And how do you ship out 11 million people? The other thing that I would say, being since you're an advisor to Donald Trump, is my recommendation is he needs to find a way to not alienate Hispanics. He still has to remember it represents about 41% of the voter politic. He doesn't need to get all of them, but he needs to leave the door open a bit to where he can at least capture 25 to 30% of Hispanics. And I see him aggressively going after Black America, 13%. And I'm going, hello, what about 41%? Last time I checked, according to my math, and this was before Common Core, 41 is a bigger number than 13. Why is he ignoring Hispanics? And he seems to be anyway. And this is one of my criticisms of the Trump campaign. I think they're missing out on an opportunity here.
Right. Well, that's a good point, and I will pass that along. I think you're going to see him doing that. You're going to get there. It's going to happen. There's a very interesting survey I saw, a poll that was conducted that recently, which shows that on the issues that Mr. Trump talks about, not just the African Americans, but also Hispanics are right there in agreement on the same page. For example, his signature issue, Put America First. 66% of Hispanics agree with Donald Trump that our economic and trade policies should always put American needs and American jobs first. Mm-hmm. And issue after issue, it's the same thing, whether we're talking about trade, immigration, the rigged system, how the powerful have rigged the system for themselves. We're all in agreement, and he will be doing that outreach. And I think I hear music here. We're about to take a break.
We're about to wrap it up, but we need to have you back again, Curtis, as always. I appreciate your insight and input on this. Curtis Ellis, policy advisor for Donald Trump, executive director of the American Jobs Alliance on Bill Martinez Live. Curtis Ellis, thank you for being with us. It's 19 before the top of the hour right now.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ, based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
August is National Immunization Awareness Month. Parents, this is a reminder for you to take your adolescents and young adults to their healthcare provider to get any recommended vaccines before they head back to school. This includes vaccines to help protect against meningococcal disease, an uncommon but serious bacterial infection that can attack without warning. With the recent cases and outbreaks at colleges and universities in the U.S., it is important that parents talk to their healthcare provider about getting their children vaccinated against meningococcal disease before they go back to school. Dr. Richard Chung, Director of Adolescent Medicine at Duke University.
Two different vaccines are needed to be fully immunized against meningococcal disease, a vaccine that helps protect against groups A, C, W, and Y, and a different vaccine that helps protect against group B, also known as MenB, which accounts for nearly 50% of all U.S. cases of meningococcal disease in 17 to 23-year-olds.
Visit www.stopmenb.com to learn more about MenB and available meningococcal vaccines. This message is sponsored by Pfizer, Inc.
You know, you've been hearing about Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients keeping the body healthy. Bill Martinez Live now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 ORAC points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 855-305-8326 or BillMartinezLive.com. Longevity, that's 855-305-8326.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 100 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus, from wherever you are, on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, call 1-800-933-1430. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates, and why 90% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU Online degrees, call 1-800-933-1430. That's 1-800-933-1430.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Oh, you got to know the music, huh? It's time for Steve the Movie Guy. Yes, live from Hollywood, the movie capital of the world. The one and only Steve the Movie Guy, and Suicide Squad is still ka-chinging its way to the bank, huh?
Yes, for the third weekend in a row, it was number one. It's made $262 million just in this country alone. I guess you can't go wrong with those comic book movies, huh?
No, I guess you're on a roll. You just keep it going. Why not?
Keep it going. Sausage Party, that was number two. This is an animated R-rated film. That made about 15.4. It's made 65 so far. So, Bill, there will be a Sausage Party 2. I can't wait.
I cannot wait. I got to catch up with the first one. I missed the first party.
Yes. War Dogs. That was number three. I saw that movie last week, and it's a good movie. Miles Teller, Jonah Hill in that movie, based on a true story which first appeared in Rolling Stone. It's a guy's movie, really.
A lot
of violence. Interesting twists along the way. Very well acted, I would recommend. Kubo and the Two Strings, a beautifully animated film out of Japan. That was number four. Peach Dragon, number five. The big surprise was Ben-Hur. Now, here's the deal. This is a movie that Paramount and MGM put together. It cost $100 million to make. It only made 11.2 in its first weekend at the box office, which is bad news. But here's the interesting thing. You've heard of CinemaScore, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Right, CinemaScore. This is a group that they do exit interviews with people that have seen movies. They like to get the public's opinion of the movie they've just seen. Ben-Hur got an A-. Which means it was a much better movie than people would be have been led to believe. And I just have to fault, I think, the studio and the PR and marketing arms. Because if you're going to remake a movie about, like, Ben-Hur, which was a huge movie back in 1959, winning 11 Academy Awards, and it was this big production, that has to be part of the story, I think. You know, the making or the remaking of this huge movie.
You know what I think they fell victim of, Steve, and this is what some of these faith-based movies do. And I'm talking about when you get these, general market type production houses, even though they're working with Roma Downey and Mark Burnett, and they've had great success, these two together, that they figure, okay, well, they're going to carry the day with, all the churches across the country, so we don't have to promote it. We're just going to let them, do it. So they put all, they hold back any kind of promotion dollars instead of going out. And as you say, to your point, very well said, is that, when you go back to 1959, what an epic movie that was and the success it had. And here it is, a remake. And they just kind of, they under-supported it.
Yeah, well, like one critic said, it was like, Ben Who? I mean, you really didn't know this movie was hitting the theaters until it hit the theaters. And you should have been talking about this for the last couple of years. Who's going to play the Charlton Heston part? Where are they going to shoot this movie? How are they going to recreate the famous chariot scene? This should have all been a part of the story, and I think they would have had a much bigger opening weekend. Because
I agree.
Obviously the people that had, because yes, there is the faith angle, but they really didn't attract the Christian crowd as they had hoped. They really didn't attract like the Game of Thrones crowd, which is another market that they could have appealed to. I don't know. It's just interesting, and I hate to see an opportunity missed, but there you go.
I'm with you.
And
I'm with you.
It's still there, so you can see it this weekend if you'd like. All right. I love this time of year because this is the time of year when the box office, the big blockbusters, they don't really, we're at the end of summer, so it isn't summer blockbuster season, and you're beginning to see the festival movies that are all queuing up for the Academy Awards and awards season. So we have a lot of great movies out there. We'll start with one which isn't a festival movie, but very interesting just the same, Mechanic Resurrection. Now, you, of course, remember The Mechanic, the Charles Bronson film back in 72,
exactly.
Right?
Oh,
well,
yeah,
Jason
absolutely.
Statham came along in 2011. He remade that movie, and it did okay at the box office. It was like number three opening weekend. Most people thought it lost money. However, when you dive deeper into the numbers, you find that it did sell 1.5 million home units, as they say, the DVDs, and it was rented 2.1 million times. So they made a bucketful of money on this. So that's why we are seeing the resurrection of The Mechanic this weekend. And it's starring Jason Statham. I love his movies. Here's what it's about. You have Arthur Bishop, played by Jason Statham. He returns as the mechanic, and just as Charles Bronson back in 1972, the real angle is that this assassin, he conducts these assassinations and makes them look like accidents. That's the deal. So anyway, he returns, and the deceitful actions of a cunning but beautiful woman, played beautifully in this movie by Jessica Alba, when spends most of the movie in a bikini, by the way.
He stole my heart.
These actions force him to return to the life he left behind. Now, Bishop's life is once again in danger. Here's the idea. He has to complete an impossible list of assassinations of the world's most dangerous men in order to get Jessica back. That's the idea. You got a great cast. Jason Statham, Jessica Alba, Tommy Lee Jones in this movie, Mechanic Resurrection. Not reviewed for the critics, but maybe one to see this weekend. And then a movie called Don't Breathe, which is a thriller, a horror film that 91% of the critics are recommending. Here's the idea here. This is an interesting twist. You got these three thieves, Rocky, Alex, and Money. These are three Detroit thieves. They get their kicks by breaking into houses of wealthy people. So one of them gets word about this blind veteran who won a major cash settlement following the death of his only child. So they figure, hey, this guy's an easy target. So they invade this guy's secluded home in an abandoned neighborhood, and suddenly they find themselves trapped inside. And these young intruders must fight for their lives after making a shocking discovery. Their helpless victim isn't so helpless after all. But want to check it out. Don't Breathe. 91% are recommending. And then we have this movie called Greater, and I think you're going to see this, right?
Yes, see it on Friday. In fact, we interviewed the brother of, which the movie is all centered upon, Brandon Burlesworth, who was, a walk-on at Arkansas, University of Arkansas. And anybody coming on in a walk-on status in a Division I, a football team, NCAA football team. It's just, the odds of you walking on and making it. I mean, this is better than Rudy, and an incredible story. And so we had a chance to talk with his brother, Marty, who is 16 years older than Brandon, but it is an incredible story. The whole Burlesworth legacy, Burlesworth way. This is a kid who walked on, kind of goofy, black horned rimmed glasses, kind of Buddy Holly glasses. And they go, who's this guy? What's he doing? Well, then he went and, as they say, kicked butt, took names, did all that.
Amazing story. True
left
story.
A, yeah, just awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, Christopher Severio plays Brandon.
Yes, exactly. Right.
And then you have Neil McDonough, who is great as Marty Burlesworth. He looks great. You'll have to let us know what that's all about. It's called Greater, out in theaters this week.
I will tell you, bring some tissue. it's a tough story at the end, but it's quite the celebration, And it encourages all of us who have dreams, regardless of how insurmountable or impossible they may be and things that people may tell you. This will give you a lot of encouragement and hope. A great movie just in time for the start of, you know, college football season.
Right, yeah, right. You remember The Big Chill back in 83. Who doesn't remember
that? Oh, of course.
Are
you kidding?
Right?
The soundtrack still. I mean, it's emblazoned in my iPod and my iPhone. I mean, hey, come on. Great movie.
We have a movie called The Intervention, which was big at Sundance this year. They're saying this could be The Big Chill circa 2016. 79% are recommending. Here's the idea. Similar to The Big Chill, a weekend getaway for four couples takes a sharp turn when one of the couples discovers the entire trip was orchestrated to host an intervention on their marriage. So, of course, things go awry, and the fault lines of all people involved are exposed in this movie called The Intervention. And great music as well. You might want to check that out. Movie I'm going to see this weekend, which is also at Sundance this year, was called Southside With You. Now, regardless of your politics, this is a sweet movie, once again, with great music. This is inspired by Barack and Michelle Obama's first date.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it recounts this eventful summer day back in 89. You got this young law firm associate. His name, of course, Barack Obama, played in the movie by Parker Sawyers, who's getting great reviews. He tries to woo this lawyer, Michelle Robinson, played by Tika Sumter. They have this day-long date that took them from the Art Institute of Chicago to a screening of Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing and to the site of their first kiss outside of an ice cream parlor. Check out the trailer. It just looks like a sweet movie. Mm-hmm. I'll let you know what it's all about. 91% are recommending that one. And speaking of biopics, Hands of Stone. This is the story of Roberto Duran.
Yes.
Edgar Ramirez plays this Panamanian fighter who made his professional debut in 1968. He was 16 years old. I didn't realize this, but he retired in 2002. At the age of 50, which is pretty old to be in that
game.
Yeah,
really, exactly, yeah.
In June of 1980, of course, he defeated Sugar Ray Leonard in the movie played by Usher Raymond, making his debut in this one. He captures the WBC welterweight title, but he shocks the boxing world by returning to his corner in their rematch, which happened the following November, famously saying the words,
No mas.
Out there, 46% recommending this one, starring Robert De Niro and, of course, Edgar Ramiro as Roberto Duran. Lots of stuff to see this week.
Wow.
Good thing
wow.
The
that's
going to be
good fun. I'm going to look forward to, to seeing that. But great offerings this week. And and I will say also, go take a look at Ben-Hur. That's a good one. It's just... had a slow start there at the box office, but Greater is going to be terrific. They're going to do a great job, but it just depends how many movie houses they get, Steve-O. You know how that works. Steve, the movie guy, I'm Bill Martinez live. We'll see you at the Cineplex. Don't forget the popcorn, okay?
Do you ever feel like you're being watched? Like someone or some company is tracking your every move online? I know I do. That's why I trust Private Internet Access VPN to keep me safe when I'm online. I use it to encrypt my traffic and use an anonymous IP address. Private Internet Access keeps your internet traffic safe from unwanted eyes so you can finally feel safe. $40 a year for peace of mind is a no-brainer. Sign up today at privateinternetaccess.com. Once again, that's privateinternetaccess.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Paid non-attorneys.